नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम एट कैंटो चैप्टर 11. We're going to begin from text 10 to text 25. Right? Yeah. So the 13 onwards have no purpose, so we're going to be reading the text. This is the topic of the King Indra who was annihilating the demons. So there was a terrible fight. Intergalactic fight between the demons and the demigods. And of course, in this context, the demigods, they are victorious. So text 13. Shakayam paditam rishtra jambu bali shakasurit abhyaya suridan sakyo atashyapi samacharan. Translation. When the demon Jambasura saw that his friend Bali had fallen, he appeared before Indra, the enemy, just to serve Bali Maharaj with friendly behavior. Text 14. Sasinya bahasa dia gadang udang yaram ngasa jato atadaya shak chakram gajan Chashumahabalaha. The greatly powerful Jambasura, carried by lion, approached Indra and forcefully struck him on the shoulder with his club. He also struck Indra's elephant. Text 15. Kada prahara vyatito brisham vivalito gajahan Janobyan Daranis Prishtra Kasmalam Paraman Yayo. Translation. Being beaten by Jambasura's club, Indra's elephant was confused and aggrieved. Thus, he touched its knee to the ground and fell unconscious. Text 16. Tetora to Matalinan Haribi dasatai brata Anito dvipa utsrijya ratan aruruhe vibhu. Translation. Thereafter, Matali, Indra's chariot driver, brought Indra's chariot, which was drawn by 1,000 horses. Indra then left his elephant and got onto the chariot. This chariot, these horses, according to Srila Vishnu Chakravarti, they are said to be of yellow complexion, which means a very brightly shiny horses, in a yellow complexion, according to Srila Vishnu Chakravarti. Text 17. Tashata pujayankama jantu danavasatamaha sulena jalata tamtu smaya mano hanamude. Translation. Appreciating Matali's service, Jambasura, the best of the demons, smiled. Nonetheless, he struck Matali in the battle with a trident of blazing fire. Text 18. Seru jan sudu mashan satan alam bembatli indo jambasya sankrudha sankrudho vajina parahas chirha. Translation. Although the pain was extremely severe, Matali tolerated it with great patience. Indra, however, became extremely angry at Jambasura. He struck Jambasura with his thunderbolt and thus severed his head from his body. Text 19. Jambasura hatantasya gantayo naradarushe namoshicha balapaka satapetu taramvitaha. Translation. When Nadarishi informed Jambasura's friends and relatives that Jambasura had been killed, the three demons named Namochi, Bala, and Paka arrived on the battlefield in great haste. Text 20. Bachobi parusa indram arayanto samamasu sarai abakiramega darabi ibapavatam. Translation. Rebuking Indra with harsh, cruel words that were piercing to the heart, these demons showered him with arrows, just as torrents of rain wash a great mountain. Text 21. Harindasa satanya jao hayashasha balasarai tabadvi yadayanasa yoga palagu ashtaban. Translation. Quickly handling the situation on the battlefield, the demon Bala put all of Indra's 1,000 horses into a tribulation by simultaneously piercing them all with an equal number of arrows. Text 22. Satabhyam matalim pako ratans sabayaban pritak sakri sandana mokshenan tat arbutan abu rani. Translation. Paka, another demon, attacked both the chariots with all its paraphernalia and the chariot driver Matali by fitting 200 arrows to his bow and releasing them all simultaneously. This was indeed a wonderful act on the battlefield. So this Paka demon, he released 200 arrows, 100 of them directed at the chariots and 100 of them directed at the chariot driver. So he was very determined to annihilate Indra's charioteer. Text 23. Namochi panchadasabhi swanam punkai maheshubhi hathyabhyanada sankhe satoya ibatoyadha. Translation. Then Namochi, another demon, attacked Indra and injured him with 15 very powerful golden feathered arrows, which roared like a cloud full of water. Text number 24. Sabata sarakutena sakran sarata saratum chadayam asu asuhura pravit soyam ibam buddha. Translation. Other demons covered Indra, along with his chariots and chariot driver, with incessant showers of arrows, just as clouds cover the sun in the rainy season. So text 24, we all read together. Alaksha yanta astamati babibala vichukro so deva gana sahanugaha anayaka satu balena nijita banikpata vinna navo yata nabhe alakshayantaha. Being unable to see, Tam, King Indra, Ativa, fiercely, be balaha, bewildered, be true Christ who began to lament. Deva Gana, all the demigods, Sa Anugaha, with their followers, Anayakaha, without any captain or leader, Satubalena, by the superior power of their enemies, Nijita, oppressed severely, Vanikpataha, traders, Binna Nabaha, whose ship is wrecked, Yata Anabe, as in the middle of the ocean. Translation and purpose by Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. The demigods, being severely oppressed by their enemies and being unable to see Indra on the battlefield, were very anxious. Having no captain or leader, they began lamenting like traders in a wrecked vessel in the midst of the ocean. Purport. From this statement, it appears that in the upper planetary system there is shipping, and that traders there engaged in navigation as their occupational duty. Sometimes, as on this planet, these traders are shipwrecked in the middle of the ocean. It appears that even in the upper planetary system, such calamities occasionally take place. The upper planetary system, in the creation of the Lord, is certainly not vacant or devoid of living entities. From Srimad Bhagavatam, we understand that every planet is full of living entities, just as Earth is. There is no reason to accept that on other planetary systems there are no living beings. Gurave Gurachandraya, Harikaya Tadalaya, Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya, Tadbhaktaya Namo Naman, Aganatrimandrasya, Ganangana Slakaya, Takshmita Yenatasmashi Gurave Naman, Vanjaka Patrubias Chakripa Sunibhivacha, Padita Nampana Bivashnabhya Namo Naman. Alakshaya intends to Matiba Bibala, Bichu Krishu Deva Gana Sahanugaha, Anaya ka satu balena nijita banik pata bina nabo yatanave. The demigods, being severely oppressed by their enemies and being unable to see Indra on the battlefield, were very anxious. Having no captain or leader, they began lamenting like traders in a wrecked vessel in the midst of the ocean. So, big, terrible battle, fighting, it's going on between the demigods and demons, headed by King Lord Indra. So, Lord Indra is the king of the demigods, and also is the most powerful, actually, within this planet. Lord Indra is the most powerful, after, of course, Lord Brahma. He has all the powers, and especially with his Vajra, his weapon, thunderbolt weapon. With this weapon, he annihilates whatever he wants. But here, a big severe battle is taking place between the demigods and the demons. And this fighting is taking place in the higher planets. Of course, as we heard before, that the demigods and demons, they all live different planets. They don't live on the same planet. So from time to time, the demigods, they don't go out of their way to attack the demons. But it's the demons who goes out of their way to attack the demigods. Why? Because the demons, they are not satisfied with what they have. So usually, someone with demonic propensity is always greedy. He has something, but he wants to accumulate more. They are never satisfied with whatever they have. They want to get more and more. So therefore, they are always looking for the way to attack someone who they feel has more than they do. So this, therefore, this perpetual battle between the demons and the demigods is always going on. Now, the battle took place on the higher planets, and as Srila Prabhupada was mentioning in this purport here, that we should not assume that other planets are vacant. There are no living entities there. Actually, every planet, they are fully inhabited. They are full of living entities. And as a matter of fact, those living entities, they are much more, much more endowed than the people on this earth planet. Just like, the materialists, they have this intergalactic concept. Just like, they have this, Star Wars movie. Star Wars movie is like, it's based on the, people of different planets, fighting with one another. So we have see people flying the sky, here and there. So they fly in the sky to attack, one another, like this. Of course, this is just materialistic concept, but it is real. It is a fact that, yes, people are there on different planets, and they do have interaction between one another. So demigods, the demons, who live on different planets, so they often engage in fighting between each other. They often engage in that. And this fighting is always going on, because sometimes, of course, as I was mentioned last week, that how come the demigods sometimes, they always have to engage in the fighting with the demons? Or because the Lord is on the side of the demigods. After all, the devas, they are the Lord's servants, basically. They are the Lord's devotees. And they are there to execute, the desire of the Lord, basically to manage this universe. So demigods are there, so they are basically the Lord's arm. But they come from time to time, the demons come to attack them. And sometimes, the demons become victorious sometimes. The demons, they become victorious so that they chase demigods out of their heavenly kingdom. There are a lot of historical narrations in the Puranas. How the demons become victorious. Just like Hiranyakashipu was an example. So he came and he drove out Hiranyakashipu from, Hiranyakashipu came and drove out Indra from his palace. The demigods, when they saw Hiranyakashipu coming, they had to run out, they had to run away. Otherwise, they feel extermination. So they ran away and hiding themselves somewhere within the sky somewhere. They had to run away. So the demigods, sometimes they lose their abode. Why? Because sometimes because of material prosperity, and the material prosperity sometimes it causes them to be forgetful of who they are. So they become overwhelmed by material prosperity. And because of this overwhelm, so therefore, in order to teach them a lesson, so the Lord allowed the demons to attack them. And sometimes the demons, they become victorious. And of course, then after some time, again, the demigods, again, they come back, and then they again fight with the demons again, and then they reclaim their original kingdom. In this the story that precedes this fighting, before the journey of the ocean of milk, so the demigods, they've lost everything. They lost everything. Why? Because one time Indra became puffed up. He became very proud of his position. He became very, very proud. He became very, very proud of his achievement, and he was thinking, whatever I've been able to attain, whoever I've been able to conquer, it's all because of my own strength. So Indra became very puffed up. He said, everything become based on him. So therefore, in order to teach him a lesson, Indra and the demigods, they lost everything. So they lost everything, and then when they went back to Lord Brahma, implore him to what to do, how they can get back their kingdom. So Indra and Lord Brahma told them that unless you made an alliance with the demons, you cannot gain back your kingdom. You have to make an alliance with them. So the alliance was made that both the demons and the demigods, they churn the ocean so that they can get the nectar. So whereby the demigods and demons, they were, you know, churning the ocean. At least, you know, go back and forth, churning the ocean. If some of you have traveled to Thailand airport, you will find this diorama, huge diorama of the demigods and the demons, you know, churning the ocean. Churning like this. So one side the demons, another side are the demigods, and then the churning was going on. And then, of course, during this journey, so many things came out. But the most important is that Moini Monti, who's actually an incarnation of Lord Vishnu, so he came out, she came out with the nectar in her hand. And because the demons, they were not meant for this nectar, so because after all, if they get this nectar, the demons, they will misuse it. So the Lord said that this nectar is meant for the demigods only, but how to trick the demons, how to trick them so that the demigods can only be the fit recipient for this nectar. So the Lord had to come in a very extremely beautiful form that no one has ever seen before in the entire creation. No one has ever seen this form before, the Moini Monti. So when this form was coming, Moini Monti, so the demons, they become bewildered, which is not a natural thing. So they were so mesmerized by the beauty of Moini Monti. So they became so bewildered, and they were simply, even though initially they were fighting with the demigods that who's going to drink the nectar, but seeing the beauty of Moini, and they are so captivated by that beauty, so they were simply satisfied with whatever decision Moini took. They said, okay, whatever decision you make, we'll be very happy with that. But of course, Moini Monti was simply, you know, giving the nectar to all the demigods. She gave everything to all the demigods. And of course, the little drop was taken, actually one of the demons, Rahu. So he knew that what was going on. So he hid himself among the demigods. So by hiding himself among the demigods, so he also took the nectar. But Moini Monti, knowing that this, immediately recognized this demon, so she cut off his head. Cut off his head, but because this demon drank the nectar, which basically gives immortality, even though the head was cut off, the head remains alive. So the head remained alive, and then so Lord Brahma, he had to give this head, Rahu head, a planet. So that's why we have eclipse. There was always, you know, the fighting between the, you know, Rahu and the sun and the moon planet. So therefore, we have sun eclipse, we have moon eclipse, you know, from time to time. This is because Rahu causing the destruction, because Rahu is a demon like this. So because the demons, they were being cheated by, you know, they felt cheated by Lord Vishnu. So therefore, they engage in a very tough fight again with the demons. And because the demons, they were being supported by their guru, Sukracharya. You know, Sukracharya, you know, he's not an ordinary person. He's a great mystic. As a matter of fact, Sukracharya is actually an incarnation of Lord Shiva. It's Lord Shiva's expansion. Lord Shiva has so many, many expansions, and Sukracharya is one of them. So he is the guru of the asuras. So he's in this fight, so he was guiding them. So when the fight was going on, even whenever the demigods kill a particular demons, so Sukracharya, he was able to revive them. Like we have read in the previous, I think it's the previous verse, how sometimes even those who have been killed, they immediately got up again, you know, and then again, you know, start fighting. So the fighting was going on for a long time, and then it appears that the demigods, they're getting defeated. As we are reading here, that the Lord Indra he was overwhelmed. He was overwhelmed by the incessant arrows being sent to him by these demons, Namuchi, Bala, and Paka, to the extent that Indra became completely covered, and the demigod, they could not see him. They would turn to the figure, where is he? And the demigod thought that Indra had been defeated, so they thought, and then they were lamenting, because Indra is the leader of the demigods. So demigod feel that if there is no leader, so what's going to happen? What's going to happen to them if something should happen to Indra? So the demigods they were making this lamentation. But of course, this lamentation is only temporary, because we know very well that Lord Vishnu is always on the side of the demigods. He's always on their side. And the demons, their mentality is to do things which are opposite the desire of the Lord. But at the same time, the demons and the demigods, they have a common heritage. As I mentioned last week, the demigods and the demons, they have a common father. Kashyapa Muni is their father, both demons and the demigods. Kashyapa Muni been having two wives, Diti and Aditi. So Diti produced all the demons, and Aditi produced all the demigods. It's just like the old Bollywood movie. I remember growing up in Africa in a young age, we used to watch Bollywood movies. And they were very, very hours before, a long time. And it's basically, if you watch one, you have seen the other ones. Because it's always based on two brothers born together to the same parent, and then they were separated at birth. One grew up good, another one grew up bad. You know, I'm sure many of you have, you know that. So two brothers separated at birth, one is good and one is bad, and then they're fighting with each other until one is killed. And they won't realize that, we're actually brothers. So that is the concept. So the demigods and demons, they are like that. They are the same, they have the same common heritage, same common parent, common father, but one is bad and one is good. The suras and asuras. Like that. So the relation is always there, that the demons and the demigods, because the envy that is there among the demons, so. And then also the demigods, because they also overwhelmed with their prosperity, they overwhelmed with their material prosperity, so they get affected from time to time. The demigods are the Lord's servant, but because they are not pure devotees, so therefore they get overwhelmed with their prosperity. Just like we have the case of Manik River and Nala Kuvera, who were the sons of Kuvera. So Nada Muni saw these two fellows, and these two fellows, they were too drunk. They were so drunk because they were playing with the heavenly girls. They were playing in the lake, in the garden. But they were so drunk that they were naked. So when the grace age was coming, they totally oblivious that the grace age is coming. So the grace in Nada Muni was coming. So while the girls, they immediately covered themselves because they saw the sage is coming. But these two fellows, because they are so drunk, they did not cover themselves. So therefore, Nada Muni had to curse them. And he said, because of material prosperity, these fellows, even though they are such a high parentage, they've lost their senses because of material prosperity. So therefore, let me teach these two fellows a lesson. So therefore, he caused them. He caused them to become trees. But fortunately for them, they became tree in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, where Lord Krishna eventually made his appearance. And these two fellows, even though, yes, they were cursed, but they took birth in the house of Nanda Maharaj, and then they were able to witness all the pastimes of Lord Krishna. They were able to witness all his pastimes. So Srila Jiva Goswami, he composed a very beautiful narration called Gopal Champu, and Krishna Lila was narrated through the mouth of these two persons. Krishna Lila was narrated to the Brijabasi through their mouth. So that's what happened. So the demigods, they have to be given a lesson from time to time, like this. Either in the form of being attacked and being defeated by the demons, or sometimes in the form of being cursed by the great sages. You know, in ordinary, we have throughout the Puranas, we read about this throughout the Puranas. So what makes the difference between the demigods and the demons? In the Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 16, we read about the demonic qualities and the divine qualities. Those who are possessed of demonic nature and those who are possessed of divine nature. So Lord Krishna was telling Arjuna, he said, Dwa bhuta sayaga lokeshmi daiva asraya bacha daiva vistarasaya prakta asuram pratameshuno. He said, Oh Arjuna, in this world there are two types of created beings, the divine and the demoniac. Divine qualities have been described at length. Now hear from me about the demoniac nature. So the law is explaining, is giving a detailed description of what consists of people of demoniac qualities in terms of anger, hypocrisy, greed, lust, excessive pride. These are all demoniac qualities, of course. So of course, if you try to see that, how do we begin to identify who are the demons? We can start pointing out the fingers. Maybe this person is a demon. Maybe that person is a demon. But as we are pointing the finger, we find that the other finger is pointing at us. So we find that actually we are actually that demon. You know, because within us are all these qualities. You know, pride. You know, lust, greed, all these things are within us. So which means we don't have to look very far to search for demons. We only have to search within ourselves that maybe I'm actually that demon that's been described in the scriptures. Because we see, you know, as if we start to be honest, truthful to ourselves, you know, we start asking if we are free from pride, or we are free from, you know, from false ego. We are free from lust, greed, desire, so many things. Especially anything that has to do with, that has nothing to do with Krishna, with Krishna consciousness. Do we have desire for those things? Do we have desire for positions? All these things. These are all demoniac qualities. And it is this demoniac quality that is always subject to being killed by the Lord. So, the devotees of the Lord, they are called demigods, and they are supposed to be devoid of all these bad qualities, such as being envy of the Lord or being envy of the Lord's devotees. All this is not supposed to be there with those who have the divine quality. Like when Lord Krishna is telling Arjuna that these are the demonic qualities and these are divine qualities, but he told Arjuna that you do not worry. Because you are of divine quality, so you do not have to worry. But at the same time, we know that Arjuna was fighting with the demons. Arjuna was fighting with the Kauravas. He was on the battlefield of Kurukshetra fighting. And in order to fight, you have to be angry in order to fight. You have to be angry. That's the only way you can fight with your enemy. But Krishna is telling Arjuna here that you are for divine quality, but at the same time, anger is a demonic quality, being angry. So how do we reconcile this? We reconcile it because Arjuna was fighting on behalf of Krishna. His anger was not directed because he simply wanted to be victorious over his enemies. He wanted a name recognition for himself, or he wanted to rule over the world. His anger was directed at those who are simply against the will of the Lord. So sometimes as devotees, sometimes we may have to, you know, exhibit the anger sometimes. Like Srila Narottam Das Thakur, you know, explaining in the Prem Bhakti Chandrika, that some of these qualities like anger, greed, can be utilized in a proper way. It can be utilized. So how do we utilize anger? We utilize anger by, if someone, you know, is against the Lord or the devotees, then the anger can be used against that person. It was mentioned that if someone blasphemes devotees, then we should definitely be angry towards that person. We should not tolerate the blasphemy of another devotees. We should not tolerate it. But anything directed at ourselves, that we should tolerate. But directed at other devotees, we should not tolerate that. We should exhibit anger. You know, Ravan, he went to Lanka. You know, he destroyed Lanka. He set fire on Lanka, Sri Lanka. You know. So he became angry at Ravan, because Ravan, he had kidnapped the Lord's wife, Sita Devi. So therefore, Ravan, he had to exhibit his anger in order to chastise Ravan. So similarly also, this is the way. And of course, how do we exhibit greed? How do we be greedy? It's mentioned that Sadhu Sangha Arikata, that we become greedy by aspiring to be in the association of devotees and hear Harikata. We should be very greedy for that, because it's only through greed that Krishna can be attained. Krishna Bhakti can be attained when one becomes greedy towards it. So you mentioned here that Sadhu Sangha Harikata, that we should be very greedy to be in the association of devotees, of sadhus, and hear Harikata from them. That's how our greed can be applied. Otherwise, it cannot be applied in any other way, because this nature is there. But those who have demoniac nature, they do not do this. So Narada Rishi, as we were reading in the previous text, that Narada Muni, when he saw that one of the demons who had come to defend Bali Maharaj, Jambasura, he had been killed by Indra. So when he was killed by Indra, so he went to the relatives of Jambasura. He said, "Oh, your leader has been killed by Indra, so you should do something about it. Your leader has been killed." But you know, this is in Narada Muni, who is the greatest among all the devotees, and is basically the greatest among all the demigods. But how come because Narada Muni is a person, he actually moved freely between the demigods and the demons. He moved freely within their camps. Just like in the Krishna Lila, that Narada Muni, he will constantly visit the palace of Kamsa. He will constantly visit and then give Kamsa news that, "Look, Kamsa, you know, Krishna just killed this particular demon that you sent to Krishna. He just killed this person, he just killed that particular demon." So Narada Muni will constantly go and give Kamsa the news. So does that mean that Narada Muni is on the side of the demons? No. Because Narada Muni is such a person, he always wants to find a way by which to bring the demons to their immediate demise. He wants to find a way to bring their quick annihilation. So therefore, he incites them, "Okay, this is what has happened to your family, so you must do something about it." So therefore, when these demons, Jambasura's relatives, when they heard that from Narada Muni that their leader had been killed, so they all went to attack Indra. And of course, Indra immediately killed all of them, you know, this way. So this goes on, and the demonic propensities and the divine propensities, which is there, sometimes like the four Vedas, they were making a prayer to Lord Krishna. They were praying. They say, this is from the 10th canto, chapter 87. They say, Nibrita marum manaksha drida yoga yutoridiyam muna yopashati tadaro yopiya yon smaranat striya ura hura gendra bogam boja danda vishakshak diyo vayana piyati samashtama drishya angri saroja sudaha. So they were praying that the Supreme Truth, whom the great sages they worship by self-control through their various practice, but the same Supreme Lord is attained by the demons. He is attained by the lost enemies because they are always thinking of him. You know, the demons are killed by the... So actually, any demons who are killed by Krishna, they attain him. They get to him. Yes, in chapter 16 of the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord said that, he said those who have demonic qualities, they are cast into various demonic species, birth after birth. But such demons, they will continue to be that way until they come face to face with the Lord, either being killed by him. So when they are killed by him, at that time, those demons, they got liberation. And they can get liberation in varieties of ways. Some of them can get Sarija Mukti. Some of them can get Samimpya. Some of them can get Sarishti. You know, Salokya. You know, they can get all those different liberation. Like Putana, she became one of Krishna's nurse, wet nurse. Like this. So Putana was killed by Krishna. So she was killed by Krishna. But Krishna, because she embraced Krishna, she put Krishna on her lap and trying to feed Krishna with her breast milk, which of course was smeared with poison. But Putana got, she was killed, but at the same time she became one of Krishna's mother. She did not do any bhakti. She did not do any bhakti, she did not do any sadhana bhakti, she just became a Krishna, you know. She was very envious of Krishna, she wanted to kill Krishna, but Krishna killed him, but give her the ultimate reward. So therefore, Uddhava was praying, he said, convert the alun sranam brajama. He said, who else can I surrender unto? Who else can I surrender unto? That person that Putana went to him with all the intention to kill him, but Krishna overlooked all efforts by giving her the topmost benediction of being his one of his dear associate. So therefore, who else can I take shelter of? So therefore, the demonic qualities can be killed, and that is the sole mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came not to kill the demon physically, he came to kill the demonic qualities. Because when Janvijay, when they became Jagannathai, you know, they attacked Lord Nityananda, because Lord Nityananda was telling them to chant the holy name. But they became offended, and then they attacked Lord Nityananda. And then, so Mahaprabhu came, he wanted to kill them. He came with a Sudarshan Chakra. So Lord Nityananda said, look, if you have to kill these two persons, then you have to kill everyone. You have to kill everyone in the world, because everyone is of the same mentality as the Jagannathai. And your mission is not to kill the demons, but your mission is to kill the demonic mentalities. So therefore, through Arinam, a person can be the divine quality. I mean, the demonic qualities can actually be killed The divine quality can be killed through the INN process. And this is what has been explained. So this narration of Bhagavatam is not just to give us some fantastic narration, some great fighting that was going on. The whole narration is just to bring us to the point of understanding why this fighting is taking place. Just to give us, just giving us reason why it's taking place, and ultimately to describe the glories of the Lord and His name. So, Hare Krishna. Is there any question or comment? So it's going to be very interesting stories, because this narration is going to go on until ultimately Lord Brahma came to step in and forbid the demigods of their continuous attack on the demons. Ultimately, yes. Well, because the fighting between asuras and the demigods, it goes on, and as I explained, that the reason why there is fighting between the asuras and the demigods, the reason why there is fighting, because sometimes the demigods, they commit mistake, forgetting who they are. So therefore, in order to teach them lessons, they are sent by the demons to go and attack them. The same way as devotees, also from time to time, we get into many, many troubles. Why do we get into troubles? Because we are not attentive to our practice of bhakti. So therefore, we get into troubles. We get into so many, many problems, either by nature or many, many things. We get into many, many things. We know as devotees, we have so many problems. We know that. Why do we have problems? Because of our inattention in the part of bhakti. So therefore, we have so many, many problems. It can be disease. It can be attacked by other living entities. Many things like that. So, because of our inattention. Whereas, if you actually full surrender to the Lord, we are doing the right thing, then the problems will not come. But the problem comes. So that's the way. So ultimately, everything is to give us the training and to bring us to the right path. You know, that's the ultimate conclusion of the Bhagavatam. Because all the Bhagavatam, 9 cantos, is to ultimately bring us to the 10th canto, whereby we begin to see Krishna face to face. But we cannot see Krishna face to face until all this is eradicated. Demonic qualities have to be eradicated in order to see Krishna face to face. Okay. Another point? Okay, thank you very much. Shri Granth Rashmi Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Go up in Manandaya.